Today we're starting a new series called O Come All Ye Stressful. And I have a picture of a donkey for you. Do you ever feel like your load is just too big? Let's put that picture, donkey picture, right there. Do you ever feel like the burden is just too much sometimes? I know I often feel that with the family, with the ministry, and with a full-time job. Sometimes life gets overwhelming. But Christmas is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But it is often connected with lots of stress and anxiety. However, here at New Life, we want this Christmas to be the best Christmas any person can have. We want you to be filled with love, joy, and peace. I like to stress out, I feel like. Do you ever... Are you that type of person who just stresses out, who loves loading your life with way too much just so you're not busy? I love loading my life with too much. And I remember one day I was at work and my mind is rushing to, I'm doing a job here and my mind is rushing three jobs ahead that I'm supposed to do. And I'm just ready to puke. That's how stressful sometimes I would get because I loved loading my life. And then I heard the voice of God. He says, do not worry about tomorrow because each day has enough worries for its own. So there is worry for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then I said, God, I don't know how to do that. He's like, for you, it's don't worry about next hour. For the rest of the people, don't worry about tomorrow. For you, it's don't worry about the next hour because I would be preaching and worry about what am I going to preach in second service. Just love worrying. But God says, do not worry. Now, what is stress? What is worry? It's that pressure. It's an emotional, mental tension because of the circumstances, because overloading ourselves. If you're a parent, you have parental stress, work stress, school stress, relational stress, political stress. Oh my goodness. Politics could be stressful. If you're for Trump, it's stressful because everybody's attacking him. If you're against Trump, when is he going to get impeached? Stressful. Travel stress, financial stress. We got so much stresses, we don't know what to do with. That technology is supposed to make our life easier. And yet we are stressed out more than ever. Jesus, we need you. We need you. Now, let me just tell you, not all stress is bad. There is some good stress and there is some bad stress. Scientists tell us that a little bit of stress can actually help you and can result in more productivity. So if you eliminate all stress, you're not going to accomplish much. A little bit of stress is good and actually improves your brain function. Ever had an exam and you waited till the last moment and then in an hour you got so much done. You were like, how could I do so much in an hour? A little bit of stress. So short-term stress is good. Helps you get stuff done. However, there is bad stress. It's often accompanied by a feeling of helplessness. You don't have a lot of control over what's happening, and you may begin to feel trapped. Ever felt that? So stressed out, you're trapped. Your mind stops thinking correctly. You're making bad decision upon bad decision because that blood is going to organs that help you run and out of your mind, out of your brain, I'm sorry. And you don't know what to do. Now, there is also another type of stress. It's called self-created stress. How many of you love roller coasters? Right? I do. Although the older I get, the more it takes time to get used to them. Like the first ride is like I have to prepare my mind for, like, come on. And then once I do it, then it's fine.
But have you ever noticed there's people on, there's two groups of people who do roller coasters. There's the one in the front. And there's another group of people in the back. Notice both of these groups have no control of what's going to happen on that roller coaster. The roller coaster is going to follow the track and the speeds that it was designed to do. But you will notice some people will grab on to the bars and hold on tight, push with their legs to almost where they can break the metal. I think that could cause more of an accident because you could break the bar that's holding you. And other people raise their hands and yell and shout. Notice both people don't have the control. One group of people enjoys it. Another group of people is so stressed out that they promise themselves they'll never do it again. We went fishing, deep sea fishing. Anybody ever done deep sea fishing? A few. Yeah, it's awesome. And it was like our last day on vacation where we were down south by the sea. And Tanya, I've always asked her, Tanya, would you go fishing with me, please? And she's like, you know, I'll go if you want me to. So next morning, I get up ready to go fishing, and the seas are 5-foot waves. 5-foot, that's big. I'm like, well, if the captain thinks we can go fishing, I'll go. And Tanya's like, you really want me to go? I'll go if you want me to. And I'm like, I don't know what it was. I think it was Holy Spirit who told me, don't take her. Not on that day. So we go fishing, and there's this couple from Canada also going fishing. And the guy is newly married to this woman. I think they were on their honeymoon. He's the filmmaker of scary movies. She's a librarian. True story. We get into the sea just a little bit, and the boat just starts going, you know, and you can't stop on the waves. You have to keep moving. And for 4 hours, we're all standing because you can't sit. You just go like this. And sometimes there is a rogue wave that comes in, a rogue wave, and it's like a 10-footer. And so this woman, everybody's puking on the boat. Everybody, pretty much, except Captain, myself, and this guy. And this movie maker from Canada, 28 years old, he's like, I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. He's just apologizing. And I see his dilemma. So I tried to help them. I said, hey, this is experience you will never forget. She's not hearing me. Suddenly, she sits down and a rogue wave comes in because she can't stand for 4 hours holding onto the bar above her. Yeah. We didn't catch one fish for 4 hours. A rogue wave comes in, picks her up from where she's sitting, throws her up into the ceiling, and drops her on a butt like this, 2 feet forward, on the floor, a wet floor, by the way. She lost it. She was a kind librarian. Till that moment, who was stressed out. But at that moment, she lost it. And every F word, in every variation, she was just bombing him. And he was like this. And I'm like, dude, I can't help you now. I can't help you. I was enjoying that moment. It's just, I love those experiences, but anyway, back to roller coaster. I don't even know why I said that. Roller coaster, because you think you're in control, you're trying to hold on, and you're stressing yourself out even more, even more. How do you get stress? Number one is too much on your plate. You're doing too much. One thing I'm learning as I'm growing as a leader is that you have to do less, but focus more. Because you're doing so much doesn't mean necessarily that you actually accomplishing anything. I got to do less, but I got to do it better. Less, but better. Not everything. I can't do everything. So too much on my plate. Self-imposed, where I can't have any control. Let me give you an example of self-imposed. You live in a big city. There's traffic in the morning. You don't give yourself enough time, and now you're standing in traffic and you're stressing out. That's self-imposed. Don't want traffic? Move to a town of 1,000 people. You'll have no problems. Amen? But if you live in a big city, there will be traffic. So why are you stressing out every time you're in traffic? You're psyching yourself. You're self-imposing the traffic. Now, there's benefits of living in a big city versus a small city. And there's negatives, like traffic. I saw a picture by ABC, video actually, by ABC in LA, Christmas traffic. Have you seen, or Thanksgiving traffic? Like 8 lanes each way for miles. Hey, if they chose to live in 80-degree winter, I'm not feeling bad for them. I'm just not. One less traffic, it might get colder. Amen. And there's a third stress. And here's how it comes, by resisting God's will. You know you could be stressed out because you're resisting God's will? When you resist God, you will have such stress in your life that you won't know what to do with. Alcohol won't cover it. Drugs cannot cover it. Jonah could not run far enough from God's will. God used nature to stop Jonah. He stressed them out, really. And so we're going to talk about these things in the next few weeks. But for now, let's bring it to Christmas. Why is Christmas so stressful? Well, because Christmas falls on the end of the year. If you have an office job or if you're in business, you have to do a lot of paperwork at the end of the year. If you're in school, there's exams, you got to finish it before Christmas break, right? There's family, there's travel, there's family coming to town. And some of that family, you're glad they live far away. But when they come, it's stressful. My brother is watching right now. He brought me a bunch of printed Bible verses about once saved, always saved. And he was just poking me with it. And I'm like, hold on, don't give in. He just loves pushing my buttons. One time we were on family reunion and he really pushed my buttons. And I don't know how, but I allowed it. Ruined my vacation. Family coming to town. I love my brother, but boy. Sometimes we don't get along. We have different political point of views, and that's stressful. Religious point of views, and that's stressful. Plus the money problem. The money problem. Stressful. Husband and wife don't agree on what to buy and how much money to spend. That's stressful. Church has Christmas programs for kids. And now you have another event, and that's stressful. Christmas could be very stressful. And sometimes we dream of living in another time when life was a little simpler and less stressful. But was it? Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Let's read it. At that time, Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem and Judea, David's ancient home, and travel there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Let's stop there. You got to imagine this. Joseph and Mary, a young couple, maybe in their teens, most likely in their teens. They are in love. They get engaged. It's already stressful because Mary is planning a wedding. And then an angel comes to her and says, you're going to get pregnant with a child of God. What? Never happened before and never happened after. You think Mary's stressed out a little bit? How do I tell it to Joseph, my fiance? What crazy man would believe a story like that? It was stressful, so she doesn't tell him. And then suddenly, Joseph finds out, and because they live in a culture where people are very judgmental, it's not like today, everybody could have a baby, nobody will say anything. Even in church, to come having a baby, will be like, oh, God bless you, children are a blessing. Who's the father? But we won't, we live in a grace age. But in those days, it was a religious law society, and so it brought a lot of stress. Joseph finds out, he wants to send her away and say, hey, let's just break up easy. I'm not going to bring you to the town square where they will judge you for what you did. Stressful. Finally, angel of God comes to Joseph, says, hey, she's telling the truth. This is the child of God. So I don't know how. Imagine, man, husbands, or your wife came, or fiance, and told you that. You'd be like, I think you need to go to a mental institution, woman. I mean, imagine that. A child of God, you have right. Somehow he accepts her, and now they're living in shame. Everybody in their community are talking about them, but finally it's out. Finally it's out. She's 8.5 months pregnant, and a guy named Augustus, let's put his picture on, Augustus, that guy, he is the nephew of Julius Caesar, okay? He's the emperor of Rome right now, and he wants more money. He wants more taxes. He wants to know how big of an army he has in the area that he rules, and they rule most of the known world then. And here's what they do. He orders a census. And it wasn't like, do it when it's comfortable and convenient for you. Tomorrow, you're leaving and you have to register. And so Mary is 8.5 months pregnant. And she has to travel from Nazareth, which is north. Let's put a picture of where Nazareth is. You see on top, Nazareth. To Jerusalem right there, and then Bethlehem. Jerusalem is in the news right now, but there's Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Beth, house, Lahem is bread. House of bread. So Joseph has to travel 101 miles. You see at the bottom up there? By walking. Or, well, there's another one shorter, 97.7 miles walking. A woman is 8.5 months pregnant. You think your life is stressful? You think we complain about our Christmas? What about the first Christmas? Maybe God designed it like that so we can experience what Mary and Joseph experienced. It wasn't easy. A lot of times we think that if God is working in our life, that it's supposed to be easy, stress-free. No. How does an 8.5 month pregnant woman go for 100 miles through rocky territory, no roads, no hospitals, no doctors? What is she praying at the moment? Women, what is she praying? Lord, don't let the baby come here. The wolves will, the coyotes, I hear them, the lions, I hear them. Lord, no good shoes, on a donkey maybe, but mostly walking. With a pregnant woman, I don't know, 10 miles a day, 3 days? 10 days, 30 miles a day, 3 days? I don't know. But it wasn't easy. And it was stressful. God, why is this happening? See, Bible says all things work together for good. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose. God, why is this happening? This can't be a part of your plan. And God says, oh yes, it is. And here's why. There's an old ancient prophecy that declares that a baby will be born from a virgin in Bethlehem. And so Joseph, you don't know this prophecy. Mary, you don't know what it means. But the word of God has to be fulfilled. And that's why you have to travel and be stressed out a little bit so you can get to Bethlehem so a baby could be born there. See, a lot of people say this. Jesus, when he grew up, he read all the prophecies about him and forced himself to fulfill them. And I want to present to you that that's total nonsense. Here is why. How can you force your parents to fulfill a prophecy that a Messiah will be born in Bethlehem when you are in your mother's womb? Do you call? Hey, mommy, it's your baby from here. We got to go to Bethlehem. No. 700 years before this happened, Isaiah prophesied, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a child. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. They didn't know all how that applied. Now we do because we can look back. They didn't. It was confusing. It was misunderstood. What do you mean? Nobody ever done that. And so when they think that God is punishing them somehow, or maybe God forgot them somehow, God is at work. So let me present to you the idea that God is working right now in your life, in your family, and God is working through your stress. And if you can get a different perspective on what's happening in your life, then you'll understand something tomorrow that you could never understand today. Having children is stressful. But if you have the right perspective, it's not as stressful. Oh, if Joseph and Mary only knew that the baby had to be born in Bethlehem, otherwise he couldn't be the Son of God. It had to. And so God goes to the emperor, pagan emperor Augustus. Augustus gets an idea, a selfish idea. I want to count the people. God says, I can use that too. And I'm going to get Joseph south, 100 miles south into Bethlehem, so the prophecy could be fulfilled. Just like there's a prophecy about Jesus, and he had to fulfill those. He couldn't help himself but fulfill them. There's a destiny that God has given in your life. And sometimes you will not know why, but God will move you. And I'm not saying geographically. I'm saying God will move you, push you. You will be compelled to do something. And you're like, God, I never wanted to do this. Why are you making me go to a third service on Sunday night? I've been to 2 services already. Why do I have to go to the third service? Because that's where your destiny will be revealed. That's where I assigned a star of Bethlehem to shine. That's where the angels' portal are going to be open and angels are going to come and sing. Amen? That's where the wise men are going to find you. See, we think small. God, why? And God says there's a lot, a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture. And so you could be like the people in the back who grab on to the roller coaster and just try to control and change the situation. Or you can relax today and trust that the creator of the universe, who is your friend, who you made Lord and Savior in your life, is with you. And he's working everything out. God, why did this thing have to happen to my child? God says, I'm at work. I'm working on it. I'm working all things together for your good. Thank you, Jesus. And so what should you do when you feel stressed? Last verse, and we're going to pray. Ecclesiastes 5:19. And this is a good thing. So say a good thing. To receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. I want you to focus on these words. To accept your lot in life. See, a lot of self-help books tell us, don't accept your situation. You can do better. And I agree with that. But I think unless you accept your situation as it is, you have no foundation to do better. Accepting your situation doesn't mean you like or say it's okay. What if you're getting abused? Are you supposed to say, I accept this? This is my lot? No. What if you get physical abuse, sexual abuse? What if somebody's cheating you? I can't accept that. Well, accepting a situation doesn't mean you like it or say it's okay. It means you know it is what it is. You recognize it for what it is. And that's where you start from. Could be stressful. Having children is stressful. But if you can accept that that's just part of your lot in life. See, to enjoy your work, to accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. Your work, maybe you don't necessarily like it, but Bible says if you can accept it, at least for this moment, this is your job. So why don't you enjoy the work? Now, maybe you don't like your job. Well, then you can go and find a better one. But for now, you can't live in misery. Maybe your marriage is not where it's supposed to be yet. Maybe God is still working on it. Accept that. No, I deserve better. God wants me to be happy. Of course He does. I don't disagree with you. But unless you accept what is, you can't fix what could be. And so I wanted to say this. Recognize and accept the stresses of life. That having children is stressful. Being married is stressful. Going to church on Sunday could be very stressful, especially if your spouse is always 15 minutes late. Your job is stressful. Just accept that. Because just accepting, it's a gift of God that I can go to church, that I can have children, that I have a job, that I am married. That I am married. There's a lot of people who are saying, God, I want to be married. And you are married. Okay, I got to quit this before I go into page 2 and then 3. Sometimes God will use your stress to do a great thing in your life. Because a little bit of stress is actually good for you. And so don't run from stress. Don't try to drown stress. Let it push you to the purposes of God in your life. Now, don't live in stress, but temporary stress is okay. Let it push you into the purposes of God. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the Word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.